Do you ever feel stuck, like you are living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big Movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Welcome to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. I'm Sharon Lecter, your host, and I am looking forward to introducing you to Brian Galke. I met him at the Prosperity Camp, I think it was, at Greg Reed's. And you know, he's a communications specialist. Now, for those of you that are just listening, we'll have to make sure we talk, you know, not just with our hands, but you know, it is such an important issue to understand. It's not just what you say, it's how you say it, it's your facial expressions, your hand movements, to really, truly become an effective communicator. But Brian, before we get into your expertise and your niche, I always like to have you kind of give us your beginning. Talk about little Brian and how you went into the corporate world, you did a lot of different things, but you found this niche. So give us a little bit of the little Brian story.
Sure. Little Brian grew up in Dallas, Texas. Well, actually in Bedford, in between Dallas and Fort Worth. So I've been here since I was four, and being 48, I pretty much am a Texan by now. But as a kid, I had friends, but I always struggled because I felt like I didn't know how to have friends. And so I call myself an introverted extrovert because I always loved to be around people. But then the introvert side of me would kick in at the exact same time. Like, did I belong there? Should I stay here? What do I do? So I had a little bit of imposter syndrome growing up, which led me to being an introvert. But what do good introverts do? They pick up books to try and figure out things. And that started on early on. I always picked up books I loved on like body language. Then when I started into sales and my corporate jobs, I was given How to Win Friends and Influence People. And that just continued. So I have bookshelves upon bookshelves of trying to help understand other people and just figure things out because it just didn't come naturally for me.
I love that. And so when you got into the corporate world and you started realizing really how to tune your own communication skill, you saw an opportunity in a niche to be able to share that. So yes. How did you get started from leaving corporate to creating something on your own?
Sure. Fluke circumstances, which is sometimes the best things in life. In 2010, I had a friend who was coming to Dallas for a trade show, and she said, let's go to dinner. And I get to the restaurant and I'm waiting, and she calls. She said, I'm not going to make it. I thought, oh, here we go. And she said, no, I'm not going to make it because you need to come over here and meet this guy. And I was being really stubborn. I said, no, I'm where we said we'd be. I've already ordered a drink. I'm staying here. She finally convinced me to go over to meet my mentor, Mac. And I said, why am I coming over there? And she goes, well, this guy reads faces. And I'm like, oh, yeah, let me rush over there for that. Right? I had a chip on my shoulder, especially because this guy changed my dinner plans. And when I went over there, I sat down at dinner and I was just ready to blow holes in this guy. I thought he's going to use generic statements like, oh, you've had a hard time in life. You know, someone whose name starts with M, you name it. And instead, we all sat down at dinner and he dissected everybody at the table to a T, including me. And I didn't say a word. And it was all based on my facial features. And I was instantly hooked because I saw how this was the first proactive skill. Everything else I'd read, How to Win Friends and Influence People, all the body language books, they're reactive skills. Well, I take that back. There is one book I'm going to share real fast. Janine Driver's book, You Say More Than You Think, is about what does my body language say to other people. So that's a proactive book. But everything else was a reactive skill. And all of a sudden, I'm like, wait a minute. I can look people up on LinkedIn, social media, decode their facial features and understand them a little bit. And he's like, yeah. And it changed my life. It's what took me from being on the help desk to a regional vice president of sales. And the best part is it's a business skill that's a real life skill, meaning that it's not just used for corporate work. Yes, it helped me climb the corporate ladder. It helped when I was on doing presentations, when I was in sales. But then when I went out in public, I could use it at networking events. When I was around my friends, I was no longer thinking about me and stuck in the prison of my own mind in the present moment. And even, yes, romantically, it works as well. So it was the very first thing that put me at ease. If you've ever read Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl, what he talks about in the second half of the book is how the people that survived were the ones who said, I want to see my mom again. I want to see my kids again. When we focus on other people, we can accomplish greater things. And that's really what this is we all have a message. We all have things that we want to say, but we're just too busy trying to push the way we want to say it and the way we see it. And so very much like the five love languages, people's faces tell us how to talk to them. And it's just been a complete and total game changer. I'm a huge Batman fan. So I say it's the best tool in my utility belt.
I love that. Well, I love that you talk about being an introverted extrovert. I tell people I'm an extroverted introvert. So I wonder how those compare. It's really interesting.
I think it means we can go back and forth between the two when we need to, right?
Well, because of what I do, you know, it's important for me to be extroverted, but I think my natural state of things is to be, you know, more introverted and do my own thing. So it's an interesting dichotomy to figure out.
It is. When people see you on stage, they assume you have to be an extrovert to the nth degree 100% of the time. And they don't realize that when most of us get off stage, then we've got to go and recoup before we go back to the group. Right. Yeah. A lot of people, like I just spoke in Nashville and I had my headphones in before I went on stage because, you know, you just kind of got to clear your mind out and whatever works for you. But it's interesting because people just assume that.
Yeah, it is interesting because you do, for me, if I'm speaking, you use a lot of energy because you want to fill the room with your heart.
Yes.
And when you get done, it's like, okay, now. Yes, got to retool, regroup. So talk a little bit about when you're now a keynote speaker as well advising people and teaching them and training them. So give us a synopsis of what you think the people that are watching and listening could benefit from the quickest at this point.
Sure. What I love teaching is eyebrows. And the reason why is because eyebrows lead to eye contact. So when we're teaching this skill, it has two purposes. And so there's several things we can learn about the eyebrows, but to keep it very, very simple, we talk about faces all the time. We just don't think about it. And that's because authors and artists used to take courses in physiognomy, which was how to understand people based on their facial features. So every book we had to read as a kid, the only way to describe the characters were through their actions and through their facial features. Then every Disney movie, every comic book, every storybook you've ever read, we can immediately open up. We know who's the hero and who's the villain based on their faces. So we talk about them all the time. And a great example of this is comedy. So if you like comedies, they talk about highbrow humor and lowbrow humor. So highbrow humor is if more than a finger above the eye is their eyebrow. Those are people who, when you tell a joke, it takes a minute before you get the joke and then you laugh. And so people who have higher eyebrows need more time to process information. And then we have lowbrow humor, which is more like Three Stooges, which is when you see it, or Charlie Chaplin, you instantly laugh because it's physical humor. Well, it's called lowbrow humor because it's low and close to the eye. So people with eyebrows that are close to their eye make decisions very fast. So when you start going into a room, a networking session, for example, let's say there's three people in there, I'm going to look at them and say, who has the highest eyebrow? That's the person I'm going to talk to first because they're going to need more time to make a decision. Or there's a lot of people who are in sales and a lot of people love to push for the one call close. If you do that to somebody who has high eyebrows, they're going to have buyer's remorse and they're either going to back out, or even if they stick with you, they will never refer you to anybody else. So you can learn the higher the eyebrow. If you imagine data racing down your forehead to get into your eye, if the eyebrow's higher, you can only go so fast, go over the speed bump, and then try and speed up again. But if their eyebrow's low, then you can just get straight to the point very fast. So we all know Greg, but there's several people that if you don't get to the point fast, you're going to lose them. So if we have 15 minutes with Greg, you better get to the point in 5 minutes, right? So the lower the eyebrow is, and if it's straight, then those are people that like to get straight to the point. So there's three basic shapes. There's straight eyebrows. Straight is get straight to the point. If it's angled, it's what's my angle? Help me understand it or help them understand it. Then you can talk about other people. And then the third eyebrow is rounded eyebrow. And if you see somebody with rounded eyebrows, they tend to think about the people around them first and themselves second. So using those three different examples, let's say, since we talked earlier about real estate, let's say I'm selling a house. If somebody has straight eyebrows and they're low, then I know get straight to the point fast. So I'm going to ask questions that are facts, figures, and data. What are you looking for? A 3-3, a 2-2? What interest rate? What payment are you looking for? If it's an angled eyebrow, what's their angle? Help them understand it. Tell me what you're looking for in a house. What's the most important to you? What room, size? Tell me what it is. If it's a rounded eyebrow, they think about other people first and themselves second. So ask, who are the spare bedrooms for? Are you going to be entertaining at the house? So you're still selling a house, but their eyebrows will tell you how to talk to them. And then if it's a high eyebrow, give them time to process. If it's a low, once you give them the information, stop talking and let them ask questions. So that's just a very simple example of using a house and how eyebrows alone can do it.
So how confusing does it get with women who kind of reshape their eyebrows?
Well, so that's a great question. Two is if you go and get them professionally done, they usually enhance what's already there. But younger girls who don't feel in control of their life will often shave off and draw an angled one because they're the ones that what's their angle and they want to be included instead of being told what to do. So yes, it's actually women have an advantage over men in that y'all have been using makeup for a very long time to enhance whatever features you want. So long before there was plastic surgery, women could draw larger lips than they had. They can make their cheeks look wider or narrower, make their eyelids look fuller. So what's interesting about it is it's kind of like if you, because we talked earlier, when my daughter, one of her birthdays, we did face painting. Once the kids all got their face painted, they became what their face was. Women already do that with makeup and have for a very long time.
Well, it is. You definitely, particularly, it's like putting on your uniform, right?
Yes.
When you have your makeup on, you just feel ready to go as opposed to not having makeup on, you feel like you're not ready to face the world. So it's definitely an issue for those of us who wear makeup all the time. So
yes, men, we have beards or hair if you have it. I obviously don't have hair, but we are very limited in what men can adorn on their face. That's why for men, it's suits, ties, you know, things of that nature. What else can they use to stand out?
Well, my husband has a full beard similar to yours. And mm-hmm. Of our 43 years of marriage, probably 20 has been clean shaven, and then mm-hmm. and that's been spread out during the time. So he looks very distinguished. His beard looks very similar to yours, a little white, a little dark. Yeah,
right.
He looks like a professor. He still has stuff on the top of his head too. So
he has that advantage over me. Well. Speaking of beards, so beards, when we say take one on the chin, that's how someone handles criticism and adversity. So the larger the chin is, the more that they can handle. So if you see someone with a very large chin, you don't have to walk on eggshells when you're giving them criticism. But if somebody has a smaller chin, then you have to use the sandwich technique. So you have to tell them something good, address what needs to be improved, and go back to something good again. And what's funny is men just say, I can handle a lot. They'll grow their beards out. So in the movie 300, what did they have all the actors do? They had them all grow out these big, massive beards that pointed. And why? It was 300 against thousands of the Persian army. So even if you've ever read a book and the casting agent does a bad job of picking the characters, that's why we don't like the movie. But if they're good, and this is sometimes subconscious, that's why they have them grow the beards out, was for that particular aspect.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Probably true in the Viking movies too, I would think. Yeah,
exactly.
Amazing.
Yes.
I like that. So what's to come for Brian? What are you working on? What are your, you know, what's your next goal for yourself?
Sure. Just teach this to more people. I have a daughter, and what really worries me is how younger kids have lost the ability to have these face-to-face conversations. And it's a side effect of modern technology, right? It connects us to the world, but disconnects us from each other. so many of the people I see, they'll take their kids out to public and they just slap a tablet in front of them and put headphones on them. We're not above that. It's just our rule is you have to go to dinner with us first. You have to converse with the adults. Then if your food, because I always bring the kids' food out first, if you're done with your food, then you can have a tablet time or something of that nature. But with kids who've grown up with this device, they're into perfection. They can retake their photo numerous times. They can type the perfect email. They can type the perfect text message. So what that with that becomes, the idea of having face-to-face communication is as scary as public speaking is for us, right? So when I was growing up, they say more people fear public speaking than death. Now it's face-to-face communication. So my goal for this is to help people understand each other better and then pass that down to the kids that are coming up in the world. Because I want my daughter to have those same skills that we're having today, where if we meet in person, we can have that conversation. Now, we grew up, you know, before we knew who was on the phone, there was no caller ID. You just met people. You go to networking events. Now they feel like they have to perfect so much. I wanted to understand there's four basic human needs, and Brian actually mentioned them on the podcast. Physical safety, emotional safety. They want to feel seen and heard. And they want to feel connected to other people. Well, by learning this skill, they're learning this seen and heard and connected with other people. Because when you give someone your undivided attention, sometimes it's the first time in a very long time, especially after we had the lockdown period where people forgot how to have communication. And Zoom and things of this nature are absolutely fantastic. And they take us to a lot of good places, but they will never replace being able to meet someone face to face. That in-person time is so, so important.
I couldn't agree more. One of the things we teach young people when we're teaching them financial literacy is an acronym called BFAB, which is Be Fabulous, but back straight, eye contact, firm handshake, ask questions and allow answers, and be bold. But yes, again, it's absolutely having a child stand tall, head up, instead of down looking at their cell phone, and to really engage, because that's what I think. It drives me nuts. The younger generation, even the ones that I work with, I'll say, well, give them a call. Well, they're texting them. And I say,
yes.
You know, voice to ear, ear to voice is better than text to text, right? So
agreed.
But it just dates me, I guess. It's just my generation. But I think it's really this face-to-face communication is definitely getting lost. And we need to re-energize it, because I know even for me, once we were out able to start traveling again for speaking, it was like, oh wow, I've missed this heart, because
yes,
it's hard to have a heart-to-heart connection if you're not with someone. So
agreed. This country was built face-to-face, toe-to-toe with people. You know, you met, you needed things, we bartered, we built things together. And like I said, it's great that we can reach out across the world, but we need to know how to communicate with people in a real room at the exact same time. You know, you brought up a great point. Being at Prosperity Camp, you get to spend time with people. If they were to offer that on Zoom, it wouldn't be the same as the way that it's put together now. We're small groups where you can actually go and network. You're not sitting in an audience of 4,000 people. You're in a group where you can talk to people who are around you. And this skill just is going to become more and more important as AI can replace a lot of tasks that we do. Relationships are what will be the premium thing in the new economy.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more. So how can people find you, Brian?
Sure. I'm at Subtle Skills on pretty much everything. So Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. And I know we talked, you said, mentioned earlier that some people will be listening to this versus watching it. So if you go to getthecheatsheet.com, you can actually download a cheat sheet of this eyebrow height, eyebrow shape, and a few other features that we didn't talk about today, that you can just look at it and say, okay, what does this person have? And here's the crazy thing for me. When I used to go meet with people, because the introvert side would kick in, if I went and analyzed their face ahead of time on LinkedIn or social media, when I met with them, I felt like I was meeting an old friend versus walking in cold. So it's something you can use ahead of time. And the reason the company's called Subtle Skills, you never have to tell anybody what you're doing.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Okay, so analyze me, my eyebrows.
Sure. So what we can do is we can see. So we're going to make you do some fun faces. So raise your eyebrows up and then squint down. Okay. So what we can see across here is what's called Einstein lines, which is deep, intense study. So we know that not to give you just bullet points, we better give you the user manual as well, right? Because you like to dive into things. Then you have this area between your eyebrows, which is called the self-will pad. And what that is, it means you could have a micromanaging boss and it wouldn't matter because you're always thinking, what else should I be doing? What else should I be doing? Eyebrows, now you have two different ones. On what's known as your personal side, which is over here where a wedding ring would be, is it's more rounded. So you think about other people first and then yourself second, like we talked about earlier. And then on your professional side, on the opposite, it's a little bit angled. So what's your angle? Help you understand it first, then you can help other people after that. And then it can just keep going. So we can talk about like eyelids, even nose and nostril size matters, upper lip, lower lip. Every single feature just tells us a little bit about how do I speak your language.
I love that. That's very interesting. Thank you for that.
Yes.
You're going to hang out with me because we're going to do another shorter interview for the private Facebook group, Play Big Movement. And these are people who come together and basically said, well, I want to be number one in my field, live my legacy, and create maximum impact. So we always like to go there. We're going to talk a little bit about maybe one of the oops in your life where success is not a straight line, and then also what your daily habits are. So for those of you watching and listening, if you have not joined the Facebook group, please do, because you'll want to hear the rest of the story with Brian. And thank you so much for being with me, Brian.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited. All right.
Hold on. Until next time, thank you guys for watching or listening to this episode of the Play Big Movement. This is Sharon Lecter, your host, and go out and have a fabulous day. Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much and have a fabulous day.